Looking unto Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, Lord, let us look unto you as we dig into your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My name is Michelle, and I'm part of the team here, and we are continuing on in our series, Alive in Christ, looking at the epistle readings towards the end of this summer. And this week, we're looking at enduring in faith. Being alive in Christ is enduring in faith. So this week, as some of you might know, because we had Back to School Sunday last week, for all of Volusia County and most of Florida, was the first week back to school. Our kindergartner started school on Wednesday. I have to say I was very proud of myself. The first day went pretty well. No tears on her side, no tears on my side. But when I asked her at the end of the night, the first day, are you excited about going back tomorrow? She said, Mom, I'm so scared. You got to walk me in. We got to walk them in the first day. It was so sweet. They rolled out a little red carpet. They cheered for them. It was adorable. She goes, you walked me in. I'm not going to know where to go. I can't find my classroom without you. And I said, don't worry, Zippy, that's what the safety patrol are for. Little did I know, the safety patrol only opens the door. They don't actually help them. So I'm talking her through. I'm like, don't worry, we're going to go to the drop-off loop. Someone's going to open the door, and someone's going to take you to the classroom. Strike one, I was wrong with what I told her. We get through the drop-off loop. She jumps out of the car when they open the door. Strike two, she's about the size of her backpack right now. She jumps out and then grabs her backpack. She can't get it on her shoulders. All that hair she has, she's small. So I roll down the window. I'm like, please, can you help her put her backpack on? She can't do it by herself. And they're already frustrated at me. They're like, get through the line. I don't know if you've been in a pickup line recently. They're like, keep driving. I'm like, okay. They get her backpack on. I'm like looking back, you know, being pushed this line. And I see her, no safety patrol helping her, walking around like this, getting bumped into by other kids, not making it towards the front of the school. And I immediately bust into tears. I was supposed to drive directly to the gym. Instead, I just autopiloted straight home, ran into the house weeping, and Sophia and Peter are like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, and Sophia goes, Mom, get yourself together. It's kindergarten. Everybody has done it. She will have gotten to her classroom. I called the school. They're like, she got to her classroom, ma'am. Everything is okay. What does that have to do with this passage? What does that have to do about what we are told in the Bible for enduring faith? First, we look to the witness that is behind us. Verse 1 of chapter 12, after an illustrious list in Hebrews 11 of heroes of faith, says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, chapter 11 of Hebrews is known as the heroes of faith chapter. In fact, when you read through it, even today as we heard it reading, you almost can't digest everything you're hearing. There's names and names and names, and then they go, and I can't even go on to talk about this person and that person. And then it's like they walked through fire, and they shut the mouths of lions, and people received back their dead, and others are martyred. And you're like, wow, that's a lot of information. Whoa, those are amazing stories. The witness of all those that have gone before us, both in scripture and loved ones who believed in God, those that are commended for their faith should be an encouragement for us in our everyday lives of how to live alive in Christ, how to endure in faith. And what I love most about the witness that has gone before, both in scripture and in those that maybe in your personal life, those that have gone before who have testified to the goodness of God, is we see a couple of things that should encourage all of us. First, heroic faith is for everyone. What do I mean by that? Yes, amazing things like people receiving back their dead or walking through fire and shutting the mouths of lions is listed. But also in this list, we have prostitutes. We have people that were not faithful in their marriages. We have reluctant leaders who said no to God at first. We had people that made giant mistakes, both morally, relationally, and in leadership, and yet they're still listed and being commended for their great faith in Jesus Christ. Do not count yourself out from being a hero of faith. Do not count yourself out from living a life of faith because of whatever you think might count yourself out before the Lord. So we see in this great cloud of witness, the heroic faith is available for anyone who says yes to God, regardless of what has happened. And then secondly, we see if all of these people that went before us can do it, can finish the race, can live a life faithfully believing in God alive, then so can we. That's the main point of this chapter before the writer transitions to chapter 12. To bring witnesses before us, one after another, who testify, faith is worth it. Their faith in God was unwavering despite great fear, pain, suffering, loss, disappointment. They still held on to their faith in the reality of who God is. And what's more than that, which brings us into chapter 12, the author says, they held on despite everything they went through. And guess what? They didn't even get Jesus. He goes on to say, we are the ones that live on the other side of history. That besides having all of these witnesses of great people that held on to our faith, we also live on the side of history where God himself stepped into our human world and said, you don't have to just believe. You can know that I exist. You can know that I'm for you. You can know my love and draw a line in history and have your faith anchored on something tangible. If they were able to remain faithful, so can we. So enduring in faith, first we remember the witness that is behind us. Next, what does this passage tell us? We run the race before us. The next few verses in chapter 12 say, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. I'll pause there for this point. The race before us, the life of the believer, our life in Christ, is compared here and six different times in Scripture to a long-distance race. Those who hate running, sorry, all right? It's in this passage and in many other passages. What I love about this passage is that we are told to run this race, and we're told what to reject, how to run, and where to look in order to run well and to finish well. So let's dig into those together. First off, running the race before us. In order to run the race before us, first, we have to know what to reject. What does the verse say? It says, lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. What is weight? Every weight. Any hindrance, any burden. In other words, anything that could slow us down or keep us from finishing our journey of faith. Take a moment to think about what that could be. Maybe things that served us in a different season of life aren't serving us anymore. Maybe things that served you might not serve someone else in this church. Maybe things that serve me at one stage, I've now grown and God's taught me other things and they're not going to serve me. They're just going to be weight. Have you ever gone on a hike before? I went on a hike for my brother's wedding. He is a Marine and his wife is an Army and they're both majors. They decided for fun to make us all hike 7 hours for their destination wedding, right? He grabs my backpack before we get going and he's like, Michelle, you don't need all this stuff, right? And I'm like, but this is so good and this is water and this is a survival straw and this is this. And he's like, these are, yes, they're all good things, but they're just extra weight on your journey. Sometimes it's most important to cut some things that are good things, but they're just extra weight slowing us down. What could it be? Maybe mindsets we don't need to hold on to anymore. Labels we've placed on ourselves or other people have placed on us that just aren't helpful. Habits, things we hold dear, behaviors that we dismissed as hereditary or just part of our personality. Anything that could slow us down or pull us off course or distract us from continuing on with Jesus, we let go of. So every weight, and then also the writer goes a little bit further and says, sin that clings closely. I think it's kind of easy for all of us to identify the big sins, right? Haven't murdered anyone this week. Win. That sin's not clinging closely, you know? Haven't done X, Y, or Z, the ones that are easy to point to that are far off. But the writer talks about the sin that clings closely. What are those sins? Sins that feel comfortable, familiar, repetitive. Being alive in Christ and enduring in our faith means we don't rely on anything or return to anything that doesn't bear the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives or honor the image of God in others. So how do we run? First, we know what to reject. Then We run with perseverance and the race that is set before us. Let's look at that word, perseverance. How do we run with perseverance? Our Christian faith is not something that is just inherited from our parents or the church tradition that we grew up in. It's not a one-time event. It's a lifelong journey. Just like when a baby is born, right? Right? There's a big event, 9-10 months leading up to it. When the baby is born, we don't go, oh, that's it. All done now. You've arrived. You're here on the earth. No, that's just the beginning. And that's what life in Christ is. Maybe you grew up in the faith. Maybe you had a more recent start to your faith. But the start point is not where it ends. It's only the beginning. Every day we are given on this earth is another opportunity to persevere in faith, to grow in faith, to continue to run after Jesus. And every time we face hurdles, trials, disappointment, or even if we fall down on the way, it's another opportunity for us to persevere. Many of you were here yesterday. We celebrated and remembered the life of our dear sister, Karen DuPont. In her journal, after the death of her husband, Andy, and her granddaughter, Stella, which were only a week apart, just under 2 years ago, this is what she wrote. She said, in the midst of so much loss, maybe it would just be easier to give up. But I won't give up on my faith because it's the only thing that I have to hold on to. We run with perseverance when we get up after we fall down, when we keep going after heartbreak, after loss, when we choose to say yes again and again, I will trust the promises of God regardless of what I see and regardless of what I feel. That's how we run the race with perseverance. And then we run the race that's been marked out for us, this passage also says. What does that mean? We can run with perseverance, but also there's something that makes us run with confidence. I don't know if any of you have ever run an official race before. Back in the day, I was a distance runner. One of the beautiful things about an official race is that there's a course. It's well charted. There's markers along the way. You know that there is a start, and you know that there will be an end at some point. We can run with confidence, knowing that one day there will be an end to our trouble, no matter what we've had to persevere through. One day, everything sad will be done, everything broken mended, and we will be able to finally, fully be at rest. Our race as Christians is not random. It's not endless. It's been designed by our Creator with purpose, with love, and with a beautiful finish line. We are not called to run an endless, random, or even competitive race against each other. That's not enduring in faith. That's not the race that's been marked out with us. We are called just to run the race He marked out for you and for me, and to finish well. And that is how we win the race. So, we have the great witness behind us. We have the race marked in front of us where we know what to reject. We run with perseverance. We run what's been marked out for us. We don't try to run someone else's race. We run what God has called us to run. And we're told where to look. That's where this passage famously and beautifully ends. Looking to Jesus. The Anglican priest and theologian Philip Hughes described faith as the response of all who are conscious of their own weakness and accordingly look to God for strength. I love that. That true faith is not muscling past our weakness or saying that we don't have any flaws. It's knowing I'm broken, I'm weak, I'm disappointed, I can't do it anymore, but I will look to the one who strengthens me in my weakness. The best way to keep going in faith, the best way to finish the race that's been marked out for us, is to keep looking at the one who not only created the race, but He is the champion of the race. And why do we look at Him? Because He is the one who will help us finish. When Zippy came home from school the second day of school, I was like, how was it? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I saw you. And she was like, Mom, I was confused. I forgot where my classroom was. I didn't know where to go. But then I saw Alexa. Who's Alexa? My niece, who's a fifth grader, was standing at the doors to the entrance of the school. She goes, I looked up, I saw Alexa, and I went to Alexa. And then Alexa put her arm around me and goes, don't worry, Zippy, I'll walk you to your classroom. We have the witness behind us. We have the race before us. But better than that, on our journey of faith, being alive in Christ, is we have Jesus, who is the one who will actually carry us to the finish line. This passage ends this way, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. You see, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. They've gone before, and they give us such encouragement and inspiration to keep going, and we should remember them, but they cannot actually strengthen us. Jesus not only offers us a perfect example of how to win the race, but he carries us home. He strengthens us. He fills us with his power and goes, I got you. You're not alone. I'll show you how to finish, and then I'll carry you to the finish line. This is one of the most famous verses in Scripture, and it's also one of my favorite titles of Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter, the author or the finisher of our faith. I love that it doesn't just say of the faith, because he perfects and finishes what I can't do on my own when I'm believing in God, what you can't do on your own. He is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. He endured the cross. He defied death. He's alive and seated at the right hand of the Father, not only cheering us on, saying you can do it like all of those that has gone before us, but praying for us, interceding us, and sending his Holy Spirit to strengthen us when we're too weak, to heal us when we're broken, and to carry us when we can't go another step of the way. And then I added the next verse in there because it's not included in our reading today, just to put it in context. It ends with, consider him so that you do not grow weary or lose heart. I don't know what you have been facing or what you are facing or where you're at on your race, but I do know that Scripture reminds us, and Jesus tells us, and the Holy Spirit tells us, you are not alone. You don't have to bear any pain or weight alone that you might be feeling. He bore it so that you don't have to carry it by yourself. Don't pick up extra burdens that you might not need just because something served someone else or served us in a different generation. Maybe we don't need it now, or maybe we do need to learn, but Jesus will help us. He will carry us. We don't have to carry more burdens than we have. Don't pick up things that he says you don't need. Don't try to run someone else's race. Don't go off course. Don't let yourself get distracted. How do we do that? Just keep looking at him. He'll set the pace. He'll give you strength. He'll carry you in his arms all the way to the finish line. And all we have to do is keep trusting, keep saying yes. As we move into the next part of service, saying yes, finishing the race, rejecting things, that's something personal between you and God. Maybe take some time to reflect this week, or take some time to reflect during the time of prayer. Are there things I need to let go of? Where can I be looking at you, Jesus? And how can we be encouraging each other well to finish the race we've been called to?